The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to treat children with the utmost, highest respect that we would show to you. In your name we pray, amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Thank you, and a special welcome to the family of Rose. We are honored to share her baptism this morning. And I'm really thankful to be here because I almost wasn't here. I was in Berkeley this past week at a theological conference at the seminary, and would you believe it, I missed my flight home. And many people are laughing because that happened earlier in the summer when we were in New Orleans. But this time it wasn't the airline's fault. It was my own. I was late, cutting it too close, and it was also circumstances. So we were taking the bus from the Berkeley Bay, down by the bay of the East Bay, back to the BART station, and we were cutting it close, and the bus was packed. It was a Saturday, and all the college kids were down by the water and riding the bus back to school. So it was packed. And then as we were going up University Avenue, a man got on who was disabled. He had a motorized scooter, you know, because he wasn't able to walk well on his own. Well, when he came in, everyone cleared out of the seats that are meant for folks with, you know, scooters or wheelchairs, except for one person. And the person who didn't move appeared to be homeless and have mental health issues. And he also happened to be white. And the man in the wheelchair coming on the bus was black. And the man in the wheelchair said, "You know, I need you to move, please, so I can turn around." And the homeless man who was white said, "No, because you didn't ask politely." Can you believe that? The whole bus just groaned. And then began to be heated words being exchanged, and the bus, we were just stuck for a while. Finally, a young woman, it seemed like a long time, but really she responded very quickly. She seemed to know both the people, and she stepped up. She was also African-American, a young woman, and she was able to defuse the situation. She referred to the man in the wheelchair as uncle, and then his name. I don't know if he was her biological uncle, but she was showing her respect and care for him. And similarly, the man that wouldn't move at first, she was just able to effectively communicate that he needed to do this because it was the right thing to do. And she was strong. She wasn't docile and timid. She was firm. But there was this kindness in the way that she did it that was just so impressive to me. These are the experiences, if you're not normally in the Bay Area, that happen frequently. You're in, you know, in urban settings everywhere. And I was blessed. I was blessed by this because it informs our scripture reading this morning. It says in the gospel, not the gospel, but the letter of James, James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom." And that's exactly what I saw on the bus. I saw this young woman who was wise and gentle in her strength and resolved a situation. And it's hard in life. Sometimes we have people who can act hatefully. And how do we respond to this? How do we deal with this? And in our readings this morning, we have examples. Jesus felt betrayed by his own disciples. You know, when we read this story in the other gospel accounts, we get the impression that the disciples were arguing with each other as to which one of them was the greatest. But according to Mark, it doesn't sound that way. If we remember where we are in the story in context, what had just happened was Peter had just confessed to Jesus that he was the Messiah. That had just happened. And then Peter tried to tell Jesus that he didn't have to die on the cross. Jesus corrected him, and that's what we're reading. Jesus is reiterating that he has to go and suffer and die. So now they go walking on the road. And the disciples, what they're arguing about is, who is the Messiah? That's why they're embarrassed. They're not embarrassed because they were saying, which one of us is going to be the number two guy? They were questioning and they were doubting whether Jesus was the one. His own disciples. But you know, Jesus doesn't seem to be bothered by it. He doesn't take offense. He doesn't let his ego get damaged. And in fact, he uses it as a teaching lesson. He says, do you want to know who the greatest is? Do you want to know who the Messiah is? The most powerful one who's going to come and save us and take care of all of our problems? And then he grabbed the child, a baby. And he said, this is the greatest. You must treat each and every one of these children as if they are the Messiah. Every single one. No matter where they're from or what they look like or their family structure, it doesn't matter. Each child should be treated like they are the Messiah. They are a son of God. They are a daughter of God. And we will say in a few moments that Rose is a daughter of God because of Jesus' love and sacrifice for her. So we were talking about this text Tuesday night. We had our interfaith meeting at the Upland Public Library. And we were talking about this text and saying how Jesus is calling us to treat each other ethically, that we should treat each other like we are caring for children. And then a woman put up her hand, one of our leaders in the interfaith group, and she said, I disagree. She said, I don't want to be treated like a child. I want to be treated like an adult with respect. And if one religion says that, hey, I'm going to treat all others like their children, that doesn't make for much mutuality. And she was exactly right. And I had to clarify what this gospel was about. And here's the clarification. We don't treat people like children. We need to treat children like they're people, right? However, if we're paternalistic and controlling and domineering over children or anybody, that doesn't bring glory to God. The point is that we have to treat children with just as much respect as we would a full-grown adult. And if we're relating to neighbors or members of our community of a different faith tradition, we treat each other with respect and dignity and equals in the eyes of God. So I appreciated that challenge that allowed us to clarify our thinking. And then finally, I want to share with you a reflection on our psalm. Our psalm we read Wednesday night at Vespers, and it was a challenging one. I don't know if you noticed the words this morning, but basically it's a psalm praying for God to punish our enemies. That doesn't sound very Christian. It doesn't sound like turning the other cheek. And so I really had to think about this psalm and pray about it all week long. And what I think it means, both the psalm and the reading from Jeremiah, is that when we have an enemy, if there's someone who's out to hurt us, it is okay for us to pray to God for help, for deliverance, for God to take care of our enemies. That's not something we have to do. We are called to be like Jesus, to turn the other cheek. But in prayer, we can pray that God would figure things out, that God would bring justice, that God would make sure that all people are safe and protected. I was called into the hospital this week. It was a cold call. Someone that's not a member of our church, didn't recognize the name, but they were dying. They were actively dying. And the family requested a Lutheran pastor, and they just found us. They just Googled Lutheran Church in Upland, and they called the office. They got a hold of me, and I went down. So there I was down at the hospital, and the family member met me in the lobby, and we went up to this man, and he was very agitated. He was physically moving. He was in pain. He was uncomfortable. The chaplain was there, very good chaplain at the hospital, but he wanted a Lutheran pastor. And so I went in, and right away I saw him there, and I said, "Do you want to pray to be healed?" And he said, "No, I'm ready to go. I want to see my Lord. I just want comfort and reassurance." And I said, "Okay." So we prayed. We anointed his head with oil, the same oil that Rose is going to be anointed with. In our baptism, we are anointed when we come into this world. And when we are at the end of our journey, that same baptismal promise will be true for us for all of eternity. And I reminded him of that. We prayed for the forgiveness of all of his sins. We prayed the Lord's Prayer. I got open the Bible and I began to read a psalm. And the whole feeling in the room just calmed down. And when I was done looking at the psalm, I looked at the man and he was gone. He was gone. And I'd heard about that. I'd heard that pastors, sometimes they're there right at the moment of death. I couldn't believe that it had happened to me. And we were all just standing there. And then the man went, he was just sleeping. He was sleeping. And then I thought, wow, not only was I there at the moment of death, but I brought him back from the dead. Wow. But, you know, his eyes were closed, and he was just sleeping and breathing, and we all stood there for a couple minutes just in peace, and I started to back away to the door, and as I did that, he opened his eyes, and he looked at me, and he said, "Thank you so much." He reached out his hands, so I came back, and I grabbed his hands, and he said, "Thank you. You brought me so much comfort. I'm ready to go." He said, "I just have one question for you." And I said, "What's that, sir?" And he said, "You are a Missouri Synod fundamentalist evangelical Lutheran pastor, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am. Yes, I am." Friends, God will use us where we are needed. Regardless of the name of our church, where we've come from, we are all one family in Christ. And we celebrate this in this baptism, and we celebrate it in the breaking of the bread. Amen. Amen. Please stand as you're able.